Grace, mercy, and peace to you from the Lord our God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. The theme for today is, O Blessed Day of Rest, based on Genesis chapter 2, the verses are 1 through 3, and reads as follows. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. This is our text. Dear friends in Christ, we have all heard it said that we best by example. Children are more apt to follow in their parents' footsteps because of what the parents do rather than what they say. Words from a teacher are more likely to be validated and effective for instruction when the teacher does what he or she teaches. So it is with God. He teaches us with words, but also by example. In the scriptures, we are taught the way of love in both the law and the gospel. We learn here in God's book of his great love for us, and also how we are to love him and to love one another. But we also find that everything we learn in the Bible about love, he has also shown us by doing, by setting an example. We're familiar with the perfect life that Jesus lived. He never committed a sin. His aim was always to love, always to glorify his heavenly Father. Jesus Christ, we read in Hebrews chapter 4, was in every respect tempted as we are, yet without sin. He loved every sinner. He forgave all who believed and repented. He ministered to the poor, cared for the widow, defended the truth face to face with the Jewish rulers, and performed a host of miracles, including healing and raising the dead. And then came his sacrifice for the sins of all, giving himself as our substitute on that shameful cross. All the while, he was teaching us how to love. Teaching by example. He was showing the disciples, that includes all of us, how to minister to bodies and souls, how to present ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God, which Paul tells us is our spiritual worship. Jesus taught with words, but he applied those words in what he did and did not do. Take, for instance, what he did on the Sabbath day. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he went to the synagogue, as was his custom. Luke chapter 4. Jesus went to the house of God on the Sabbath day. He always did. Why was this his habit or custom, his usual thing to do one day out of seven? Now remember, Jesus never transgressed any of God's holy commandments. We're going to have to put one and one together to get two here. Jesus always worshiped on the Sabbath. He always obeyed the Father's commandments. He loved his Father. That was his motivation. Already at the time of Moses, God had commanded that one day each week be hallowed, be kept holy, set apart from all other days. One of those commandments, we call it the third, many other Christians call it the fourth, was to observe one day each week as a sacred day, one in which all worldly things, all earthly cares are set aside. Now, in our catechetical instruction, we abbreviate it. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. But the commandment actually continues. We have to be careful not to abbreviate it in our thinking. It goes on, and I'm going to quote now from the Exodus 20 passage. We heard the equivalent, the same one from Deuteronomy over there. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now let's go back to Genesis 2 and affirm again for ourselves what it said there. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all his work which he had done in creation. After creating all that exists in 6 24-hour days, the first thing God did was to set aside or designate one day for rest. The idea of a Sabbath day did not come from any man or from any church body. It did not surface only after the Exodus, when the Ten Commandments were given to Moses on Mount Sinai. On the seventh day of time, God himself ordained one day a week as holy. Holy means sacred, not tainted by sin, by God, of God, to accomplish God's purpose for man's sake. When the Creator himself, Almighty God, rested, he set an example for us to follow. Now, God is a spirit, right? Having no body, no body of flesh. Did he need rest? Jesus gives us an answer in Mark 2. And Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath." God's rest was for our benefit. It was intended to show that we should be resting and meditating on past blessings and more to come. Again, God himself, man's creator, was setting an example that would stand out for his creatures, you and me and all people, for all time. It is his will that we follow his example, that we obey the words of the Sabbath command spelled out in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5 and repeated in various ways throughout Scripture. Jesus obeyed. Who are we not to? Here comes a good part. Actually, giving the Sabbath command was an act of love and mercy. I'll pose a question. What curse did God place on Adam after he sinned? By the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, he was told. And because we too are sinners, we are still under the curse of having to work for a living. That has not gone away and never will. God enforces this edict when he says later in 2 Thessalonians, if any will not work, let him not eat. We have to keep that in mind when we're dealing with the homeless, by the way. Despite Adam's sin of disobedience and ours, God was and is merciful. His grace becomes manifest. His love for his creatures, then as now, has never ceased. What did he do and still does? First, he is willing to forgive because of the sacrifice of his son for our sake. The instant we are truly sorry for our sin, confess it, and repent of it, God is gracious to forgive. This is true every day of the week, right? Every moment of every day of the week. Then, for one day of the week, the seventh day, God lifts the curse of labor, suspends it. It's gone. One day every week, the forgiven sinner can again be in closer fellowship with the Creator, like being in the Garden of Eden, devoting ourselves to God, having an intimate communion with our Creator and Lord of life. Every seventh day, we have the opportunity to set our work aside and to meditate on God's mercies and his glorious promise of redemption and glorify him for the gift of life and the wonders of creation. With joy we exclaim, oh, blessed day of rest. In short, the closeness Adam and Eve originally had with God could be relived after 6 days of labor. The flesh could be given a rest and the spirit renewed. The Sabbath was made for the good of God's people, Israel, and for ours, an ongoing reminder of God's mercy. This day, today, Sunday, Easter Day, is our seventh day, a day of rest, the day following 6 days of labor. This is the crowning day of the week, the best day, a day to look forward to, a day of hope, a day for people made saints by the grace of God to come together to worship him, to sing praises, to hear his holy word and enjoy the fellowship of people made brothers and sisters by the blood of Jesus. When Scripture says, let us not neglect to meet together as is the habit of some, but to come together to encourage one another, you'll find that in Hebrews 10, 25. It is for our good. Our Heavenly Father wants us to be refreshed and strengthened for the week to come and always to have hope. He wants us to enjoy the kind of loving fellowship that is unique to the Christian family. He wants us to know the highest joy and peace possible, which comes to us in the forgiveness of sins, which is pledged and sealed in the sacrament of the altar. Our God wants to shower every possible blessing upon us freely for Jesus' sake when we do his holy will. Most of all, he wants us to be sure of our eternal destiny, which reminds us that the house of God is the very gate of heaven. Genesis 28. Sunday is the usual day people of God around the world rest their bodies and nourish their souls. And yet, especially here in America, it's elsewhere too, but We see this with our own eyes. The Lord's day has become a day of recreation, of pleasure, getting away from work, all right, but to satisfy the flesh, not to feed the soul in sacred worship. There are those who would never steal or kill or commit adultery or hurt anyone, keeping these commandments of the second table of the law. But at the same time, they don't think twice about hurting God and defiling His word, avoiding hearing His holy word, singing praises to Him, or partaking of the body and blood of Jesus Christ in the Holy Supper. Some treat the Ten Commandments as only nine. Remember the. That's a definite article if you know anything about English. A specific day, one day out of seven, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It is to be kept just as much as thou shalt not kill or thou shalt not steal. This is serious business. Remember what we were taught from Luther's Small Catechism? I'm finding some are forgetting. It says this, and I'm quoting it. God insists on strict and perfect obedience to His holy will. Unquote. Now Jesus affirmed this. You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Matthew 5:48, and in another place, John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's the key, love. And we know love is even greater than faith. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that. This is the one reason we need the Holy Spirit by our side all the time to help us, to move us, to be in the Word and in worship and ever conscious of how to please our Lord, obeying not only the third commandment but the first. When you obey the third, you obey the first. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Remember that faith without love is dead. Meaningless, useless. Now, in our weak moments, we do fail. All the more reason to come before the throne of grace and confess our sins, as we did moments ago, and hear those blessed words of absolution. You, my child, are forgiven. To remain close to our dear Lord Jesus, to know without doubting that we are destined for glory at the end of our days on this earth. We do well to follow our Heavenly Father's example and that of our Lord Jesus, and truly, from the heart, set aside the seventh day for rest and worship. And that occurs 52 times a year. No one has to be here. I find especially among the young people, they have that feeling. I ask them point blank, yet will I have to? We should want to be here. It should be a desire, something to look forward to hear the Word of God, to learn as we are this morning, so we know how to please God, how to love Him. When the Sabbath is observed regularly, we draw closer to our precious Lord. Our zeal for service is enhanced, is renewed. God's house is the one island in this stormy sea of life where we are promised that the Lord will meet us and let us feel His presence. It is here that the body of Christ, the church, and its head, Jesus Christ, are joined in a baptismal bond, loving, serving, sacrificing, hoping, rejoicing, all to the glory of the Father who so graciously lifted the curse and gave us this blessed day of rest. The time is coming when every day will be a day of rest. Wow. When we'll be worshiping together with the angels, singing that never-ending doxology, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. May the Lord of the earth Sabbath grant us a clear vision of that heavenly rest soon to come. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.